y'all think about that? Do you think it is partly about world rulership? World rule? Well, ISIS is on the scene. They came about as a result, as an offshoot of Al-Qaeda. Became a little bit more radical over time than Al-Qaeda, and those two started kind of butting heads. What is the primary goal of ISIS? And as you talk about that, feel free to take us right back full circuit of where we started, Kurdistan.
Well, ISIS is an apocalyptic, an apocalyptic organization who believes that their main job is to usher in the end of the world through violence for the creation of Islamic rule. They want to tie Islamic rule to the end of the world, and they want to create this caliphate and make sure that the world is ready for how the end of the world is perceived by them, for the end times, for Muhammad to come, for you know.
Dr. Albert, you just mentioned another word that a lot of us have heard and read, but we don't really, really grasp what it's about. They want a caliphate. C-A-L-I-P-H-A-T-E, everybody. Caliphate. What is that about?
Caliphate just means, like if it's loosely translated, like empire, monarchy, a government. And ISIS believes that it's their right, it's their providence, like God-given right, to reunite all areas of the world under one single rule that have ever been ruled or occupied by Muslims. And so they see themselves as controlling rightfully from, you know, Mongolia all the way through to Spain, Northern Africa, the Middle East, Northern Mediterranean. So anywhere Muslims have ever conquered or occupied for a significant amount of time, ISIS believes that that's their land. And so they encourage the world to Muslims of the world to unite and take over those areas that they will control then through the governorship of the caliphate. At the height of their time, too, this is interesting. I found that most, you know, civilians and most non-academics didn't know this, that ISIS had a full structure of a government when they were ruling Syria and Iraq, when they were ruling parts of the areas of Syria and Iraq. So they had federal courts, they had, you know, sanitation department, they had police, they had military, they had theologians, they had computer scientists, all of these individuals, every aspect of a working economy, public sector group, and the institutions of government ISIS had. They had a philanthropic group, they had everything you could possibly. Many of these with trained, actually Western-trained PhDs, controlling and working for them. So this isn't just a group. That's why they've been so hard to beat. This isn't just a group of, you know, good old folks getting together trying to cause some chaos or whatever. No, these are like every aspect that we have in society, they incorporated into their society, from, you know, traditional farmers to, you know, elitist PhDs and former government officials, everything. And what you were good at, they asked for you to keep doing that under them. So, yeah, you could be a member of ISIS and be in charge of sanitation.
And a lot of people, that's one of the things, one of the reasons that they were fighting so hard in Iraq. They were trying to take over land.
That's right.
So that land would be theirs. They would have their person over that land, reigning, ruling, whatever word you want to use.
Yeah, they wanted one country from Mongolia all the way to Spain under their rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, that's what they were doing. And now they've been beat back significantly. So they only control about 3% of areas of Syria and Iraq. Down from, I mean, they were significantly in control. They had 30, 40% of the land in 2015. Yeah. So they've been beat significantly back. But they're changing their tactics now to going online. So they have what we call the virtual caliphate now, and or the cyber caliphate, and they really try to recruit, you know, future members through social media sites, through different applications, iPhone applications, Droid applications on your phone. They encourage and incite violence. They want you to inflict harm in the land where you live, and if you can travel and do it somewhere else, to do that. But now they know that they've been beaten back significantly in Iraq and Syria, so they're asking people not to come there, but to just do acts of terror in the whatever country they live in.
So do we have to be concerned that when ISIS is recruiting people from Minnesota and other parts of this country, that the plan is train them and send them back so they can do harm where they came from.
Yeah, we have there's a lot of research about foreign fighters, and by foreign fighters, that's what political science we call individuals that travel from one country to Iraq and Syria with the intent of coming back. It's hard, for instance, for them to come back to the United States because we have such a great immigration service or a customs service that if you fly out of the United States to Syria, for instance, or to Turkey and then go try to sneak into Syria, we're going to question you on your way back in. So we capture a lot of people, and we're significantly better than any other country in the world in knowing when somebody leaves the U.S. for the purpose of trying to join ISIS. We don't always prevent them because we want to, you know, track them and see where they go and who they are in contact with to see, like, you know, where's this hidden Silk Road where people can go to Italy and be smuggled into Syria, or go to Greece and be smuggled into Syria by the ISIS network. Yeah, it's a very sophisticated, you know, black market where they take people into Syria to fight.
And then another aspect of it that you've already touched on, a virtual caliphate.
That's right.
So do we need to be, I know we've heard people, including former President Obama, saying cybersecurity is the next biggest thing we need to be concerned about. Do we need to be concerned about cybersecurity, and on what level or levels, plural?
I mean, it's the nuclear threat of the contemporary age is cybersecurity. I can't overstate that. That's why I'm grateful I live in Augusta and work at Augusta University. You know, we got everybody working on this in the CSRA. A lot of great cybersecurity firms, you know, Fort Gordon, NSA Georgia, you know, people don't even know are out there like working on this kind of stuff. It's amazing. We ISIS and through the cyber caliphate, they try to attack through some hacks. They try to bring down certain networks, critical infrastructures. But their main form, this is a paper I'm working on right now. I'm not the lead author on it, but I had a part of it, which we're going to send out for publication soon, is on what does it mean to be a cyber terrorist? You know, how do you operate? How do we prevent cyber terrorism? What does it even mean? And this is my largest or biggest concern with the cyber caliphate, is that they're very sophisticated at combing through social media sites and finding those alienated individuals that they actively recruit them to become members of ISIS. And this goes back to what you were saying earlier. They don't ask those members to come to Syria or Iraq. They recruit them and alienate them, or not alienate them, but they become extremists. The word I'm looking for is a common word, but it's slipping my mind right now. They're radicalized. There you go. Wow. Sorry. Yeah, it's been a rough week. They radicalize them and ask them to carry out attacks in their home country. So that's what we're doing. So these are like ISIS-inspired or ISIS-facilitated cyber-affiliated attacks, you know, when they're trying to recruit somebody to commit crimes here. And what they do is they don't necessarily give them money or anything, but they'll give them blueprints for how to do something, a roadmap for how to, you know, rent a truck and then drive it through the streets, which is the most common form of attack we can expect in the United States in the next 5 years, or, you know, vehicle-borne attacks, where that's cars or vans, or that's why when people are out and about in highly populated areas, you have to have this situational awareness, because terrorists are not, they're making sure they want to attack places where it's heavily crowded, it's soft target, so there's not a lot of police personnel, and we aren't paying attention to the surrounding areas. So we always have to be cautious. That's my biggest fear, is that these lone terrorists or ISIS inspired are going to start heeding the call. We saw this, you know, at Ohio State University a couple years ago, in New York City last year. He ran up on the running path walk and killed some individuals. This is what is the most likely form that we can expect here.
Our guest, yours and mine, is Dr. Craig Albert. We'll be back so he can share some more insights with us. Stay tuned.